Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Gary.
Well, the first thing I want to say, it's too early to have church. Especially if you're in another country. I always like to have just a moment of quietness before I say anything. Kind of helps get me focused and going in the right direction. So, if we can do that. To me, that's the most beneficial thing I can do, and that's just to be quiet. And when I say quiet, I don't mean just not talking, but to be able to just be quiet and be able to quiet the mind. And I know we hear people everywhere we go say it's impossible for me to quiet the mind. And as long as you keep saying that, you'll never be able to do it. You really won't. But it took me, I don't know how long, in trying to practice quieting the mind. But after a period of time, and I don't remember how long that time was, I got to the place where I could sit in total silence without all the thoughts bombarding me. I want to start by saying that the first thing that I heard Mike say last night was truth cannot be affected by circumstances. That is a powerful statement. Your circumstances cannot affect truth. And once we know truth, and when I use the word know, I'm not talking about an intellectual knowing, but when we really know the truth, nothing can affect your peace, your contentment, your joy. And every one of us know the truth. You really do. But what we haven't learned to do is focus on the truth. You know, one of the promises of the New Testament that Jesus promised is, or the, even in the Old Testament says, I will take out your stony heart. I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. And when I first heard that, my prayer day and night was, Lord, cause me to walk in your statutes. Because that's what we all want. Well, there's a great change taking place all over the earth today. And the reason I know that is our website ministry reaches over 70 countries. And so I get communications from all over the world, testimonies of people who say that they're just beginning to change. Now, when I say change, we don't look for an outward change because, again, you're looking at circumstances. Mm-hmm. The change that takes place is all of a sudden the veils begin to be removed from your eyes and you realize I am not just a human being. I am. Now, I'm sure you all know that when you use the word I am, you're not speaking from the ego. And when we really are unveiled to the truth, we know that I am is my real identity. And I don't know if you remember, but I think at the first time I was here, I said the two most important words you'll ever say is, I am, and then what follows that will create for you your circumstances. The transformation that's taking place in humanity today is that the Creator is being manifest in humanity, in this form. And like I said, people all over the world, they're beginning, something is happening on the inside of us. And we're beginning to have that truth that we know. And I, trust me, you do know the truth, every one of us. It's built in. Your spirit and my spirit contains everything that God is. And the thing that puts the insulation up between what we know to be the truth and what we experience is what so many people call the carnal mind. Now, in reality, now here again, this is truth, there is no such thing as a carnal mind. The only mind that exists in the universe is the mind of Christ. And when you're operating out of that reality of the mind of Christ is when we get into what is called the carnal mind. So, your thoughts are more important than we ever realized. We're talking about the language of the kingdom. And the only way we will experience the language of the kingdom is knowing that I am the Word. The Word is not in the Bible. You can connect with the reality of the Word through the Scriptures. But just imagine for a moment, and it's important that we do this. Use our imagination. You can't believe how important your imagination is, but just imagine to have the unveiling of the truth that I am the Word. I am the Word made flesh. That's the truth of our being. Everything has been established by the Word, by a Word. And we've come to the point to where we realize that no one is responsible for us but ourselves. Now, years ago when we were in the church system and good things happened to us, we'd say, oh, God has really blessed me today. And when bad things would happen, we'd say, oh, the devil's really after me. So we put the responsibility either on God or on the devil, which gave us no responsibility for our own life. It was just like we're floating around and sometimes things good happen, sometimes bad things happen. We must be responsible. Well, I shouldn't say we must because we are anyway. We are responsible for our own lives. Why did Jesus say certain things like, resist not evil? When you stop and think about that, that's a powerful statement. Don't resist evil. Are you telling me when evil comes at me, I don't resist it? What the hell is that all about? Because whatever you focus on, whatever you put your attention on, you're going to speak. And whatever you speak is going to increase in your life. So the more we think about the negative things, the more we think about them, the more we'll speak about them. I did this for years as a Christian. I will never be able to live the Christian life, I would say. The big thing, I know most of you know this, but the big thing in my life was trying to overcome nicotine. And I used to say, God, I used to say, Jesus, I was looking for that appearing. I'd say, Jesus, when you come, I know I'm going to have a cigarette in my hand. And I believe that because I was hooked. I couldn't quit. And if I knew what I know today, that wouldn't have bothered me at all. And I did get to the place in my life where the nicotine, the smoking, the habit, I got to the place where it didn't bother me. Because I had to begin to understand that just as God says, I will accept you as you are, I had to learn to accept myself just as I am. Yep. Until you can accept who you are right now in your experience and know that it's God work. I should say that it's your spirit working in you. There's nothing outside of you that will ever save you, will ever give you understanding. It is your spirit since the day you were born. You were born as an incarnation of God Himself. And because we were born into this mass consciousness of humanity, it has taken us years to discover the truth of our being. So, this is so hard for people to hear sometimes, but you are responsible for everything that's in your life. Because somehow, either knowingly or unknowingly, we have agreed with what's happening in our lives. We've agreed to it by either agreeing with it or by, well, there's so many people who say, I just can't. Like me with the nicotine, I just can't. Or I've had this I've had this circumstance for so long, how could I ever think I could overcome it? The big one is, how could I ever think that I could live as Jesus did on the earth? How could I do that? Well, as a human, simply a human, you can't. But in knowing that I am that I desire. So you can't gain anything by seeking, by whatever method you use, you cannot gain except the veils must come off of our eyes and know that I am as I speak. We're finally awakening to our potential. Everything that we desire, no matter what it is. With me, my desire since I was a child is to be like Jesus. That was my desire. Whatever we desire, we can't become it. We have to realize we are it. You will never overcome anything by thinking that you have to do something to make it happen. Everything is a gift. Everything that God is, the love, the compassion, the sweetness, everything that God is, we are in truth and reality. So we're awakening to that potential. Are we perfected in that? I wish I was. Because like Mike, I still sometimes hear myself saying some things that just don't quite line up with what I know to be the truth. But you see, we've believed a lie for years because we've been convinced in our minds that there's no way that we could be Jesus on the earth. See? And that's a lie. That's why we're here. The main purpose for Jesus coming to the earth was to reveal to you who you are. Now that's been almost covered over by Christianity. All you hear about is Jesus this and Jesus that, and you know, worship Jesus and love Jesus. They do everything but what he said and what he revealed to them. Now, there's no judgment in that because they are where they are, and we've all been there, But thank God those veils are beginning to come off. When you know that you are Christ, or you know that you are God's manifestation on the earth, you will say the truth of your being. Every time you say something that does not line up with the truth, you'll get a check. You don't have to feel bad about it. You just know that there's still some work in that area that I need to do. You will be what you say. See, right now, today, you are what you've said all your life. That's what you are. You are what you believe and what you say. And the only way you can change that is to change your thoughts. Remember, Wayne Dyer has said so many times, if you change your thoughts, you'll change your life. And again, we don't seek a change in this physical structure. The change we seek is to have the unveiling and the reality of the being that we are. We are the most glorious, unbelievable beings. Jesus said something that he said, no man has ascended up to heaven except he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man that is in heaven. You see, that's the truth of your being. You came down from heaven. And you are in heaven right now. No man can ascend up to heaven except he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. There's only a small, well, I shouldn't use the word small, I don't know what the word used, but there's only a part of you that's focused in this physical realm. But when our consciousness begins to open up, you'll discover that you are the most beautiful person. And see, if you don't see that, you'll never feel that. You have to know that out of my innermost being flows life and peace and blessing. Out of my innermost being flows words of spirit and life. Out of my innermost being flows everything that I need to sustain my life. I can't pray for it. I can't strive for it. I can't make it happen. I just receive it. God, I am so grateful. My supply doesn't even come from the heavens. My supply comes out of my innermost being. Never again do you have to trust a God outside of yourself, because that God is not going to help you. I oftentimes think of all the prayers that goes out to this God that's out there somewhere. I get so many prayer requests. You can imagine, if our ministry is in 70-some countries, how many prayer requests I get. Because people don't know their worth. They think that I have some kind of a special connection with God. And I do. But they need to realize that they do too. I often say it's been at least 30 years since I've asked God for anything. There's no God out there that's going to answer those prayers. It's all encased within your very own being, within your consciousness. It's hard. Are you telling me you never pray for anybody? If anybody comes to me and wants prayer, of course, you meet people at their need. But it's time that we wake up and realize we do not need the arm of flesh to help us in any way, because they can't.
That's awesome. The arm of flesh.
They can't help us. If I can't help myself, how can anybody else help me? If I do not know, God help us to know the truth of our being. Because if we don't know who we are not going to ascend spiritually. There's a lot of talk about ascension today. And there is an ascension process going on today. And that's why this word, this message, whatever you want to call it, is spreading all over the world. Because there are literally, I don't know how many, thousands of people today all over the world who are having an ascension in consciousness, who are becoming aware of the truth of their being. And walking out of the prison of the human mind, what we call the carnal mind. Remember, there's only one mind. It's the mind of Christ. And that's why Paul said, he didn't say, get the mind of Christ or pray for the mind of Christ. He said, let this mind be in you. Let it be. It's there. Let it be. Let this mind be in you, who is also in Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Do you think it's robbery to be equal with God? If you do, it's because you don't know the truth of your being. You cannot be anything else but equal with God. You came out of the very heartthrob. You came out of the very mind of God. How could you be anything else? Only if you believe you can. We're so caught up in right and wrong. See, that's why I couldn't quit smoking for years. I believed it was wrong. I was taught it was wrong. I was even told that you'll go to hell for smoking. And the more you get caught in that web of good and evil, the more trapped you will become. Because it doesn't matter how good you are, it really doesn't. And it doesn't matter how bad you are. What matters is to discover the well of living water that proceeds out of your innermost being. And believe me, I know how difficult that is. I used to cry and I'd say, God, where is that living well? I'd read those scriptures about out of your innermost being. I'd say, God, where is it? I am so miserable trying to be good and trying to be godly. Where is it? I've said this many times. I woke up on July 11th, 1982, into a world that I knew existed, but I didn't know how to get there. It is so real. When I think of the times that I used to wake up in the morning and I'd beg God, please, please help me to overcome today. Never happened. But when I began to hear some truth coming from my innermost being, the truth of God's unconditional love, the truth of God never, ever looking and holding me accountable for my humanity, for my what we call sin or wrongdoing. But you see, I look deep on the inside of you. I look way past your mind and your emotion and your will. I look in the inside of you and I see the seed of my life that I place there. And no matter what you do, I will continue to fellowship with you, minister to you, and love you until that seed of my life within you begins to blossom. And you see, once that seed of my life begins to blossom in you, you discover that everything you begged for, everything you've cried for, is on the inside of your being. Oh, and you think you love me now. The love that emanates from your being when you fall in love with the essence of my being that's in you. There's no greater love in all the world than to have that love built in you. And that will attract the nations. You'll never again have to preach the gospel. You won't have to go out and witness to people. Because wherever you are a light that shines in the darkness. And you're like a magnet. See, that's what we all desire. It's not about us being some big spiritual giant. It's about knowing who you are. People talk about being humble. You want to be humbled? Then let God reveal to you the truth of your being. No greater humility. It's like Mike said last night, oh, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. No man can see me and live. When you see him, you won't live just out of this lower human consciousness. But you'll be lifted high above circumstances. You see, I learned these truths many years ago. But even knowing these truths, it still took me a few years until I say I woke up. July, and I don't know why, but I woke up on July 11, 1982, and I knew that I had entered the New Jerusalem, which is the city of God. Will this city of God ever come down out of the sky? Well, I don't know if there's a physical city that will ever come down out of the sky, but I'll tell you what, the city of God is you and me. The streets of gold that we all desire to walk on, gold is simply God. And when you walk in the Spirit, you're walking on streets of gold. The river, the crystal river, clear as crystal, the river flows from the throne of God. And the throne of God is the very essence of your being. That's why Paul said, even when we were dead in sin, he raised us up together, seated us together in heavenly places. And you want to go to heaven? There's nowhere to go. So many people think that, well, when I die, it's going to be wonderful. I'm going to be perfect. You are your consciousness. You are what you believe you are right now. Mm-hmm. Death is not going to change that. Mm-hmm. There's no perfection in death. Death is an enemy. Once we know the truth, Mike talked about the fear of death. Why do we fear death? Because we're not confident. We don't know, really, what's going to happen when we die. Some people still believe that if they're not in a certain condition when they die, they're going to go to this eternal torture chamber. That is so sad. It is so sad. There's only one purpose for you. And that is, I know your thoughts, saith the Lord. And I know my thoughts toward you, thoughts of good and not evil, to bring you to an expected end. You see, we've claimed to be believers for years, but we're unbelievers. But it's because we have believed the truth, but we have not known the truth. Big difference. See, when you know the truth, it's not just intellectual, but it drops into your spirit. When you know the truth, you become the truth. So we're all growing in this. I haven't met anyone yet that is perfected in this, what God is bringing forth today. We're all learning, but we have to start by having an unveiling of the truth. And again, let me stress this. You and I, we know the truth. I mean, you know the truth. You really do. But it's been so masked over and so veiled by the what we call the human consciousness and being raised in this world of good and evil, it's impossible for the human mind to believe the truth. I mean, you can think you believe it, but you really don't. I've said many times, Jesus is a mirror. I'm sure you've heard that when you look at other people, they can be a mirror to reflect back to you what you need to deal with. If you can just meditate in the life of Jesus and listen very carefully to what he says, you'll realize that's me. That's me. That's my mirror. It's not just Jesus who has the compassion. It's not just Jesus who will die for humanity. That's me. I'm willing to lay my life down that someone else might live. And laying your life down doesn't necessarily mean physical life. Laying your life down, you see, the consciousness that arises within you is that it's almost unbelievable. The love that will flow from you. And you're willing to do anything to bring someone else into the knowledge of the truth. And you know you can't do it just by words. We can hear all the right words. But you come to that place, again, where you know. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're spirit and they are life. The words that I speak, they go past your mind. Your mind cannot possibly grasp the truth of the words that I speak. But the words that I speak, they're spirit and life. They bypass your mind. They enter down into your heart. And you become a living epistle. You become a book that people can read. It's nothing about performance. God, forget performance. Forget it. You don't have to perform. And if you can perform, it's not going to help that much. I mean, you can make yourself a better person by not doing this and not doing that. But God's not looking for better people. He's looking for the sun. He's looking for the brightness of His appearing. And when the brightness of His appearing comes forth in you, that man of sin that dwells between your ears will fade away. You don't have to die, you're dead. I often share you were born dead. You were alive before you ever entered this physical realm. You died the moment you entered this physical realm. You died to everything you knew. You died to who you were. You had no concept of why you're here. And raised in this mass, dense consciousness of good and evil, you project on yourself all the untruths. I am so weak. I am so unable. I can't do it. I forget exactly where the verse is. It's either 1st or 2nd Corinthians 15, around 58. Anyway, it says, the strength of sin is in the law. What does that tell you? What I focus on, I become. The more I focus on my habits and my inability, and that's what I did for years. I wanted God so desperately, but I kept seeing all the things in me that was wrong. That's not the way to God. The way to God is to, oh God, reveal to me the truth. Reveal to me the truth of my being. Reveal to me the truth of the source of all life, everything that I could possibly need. I already have. And I heard that one day. That brought great change to my life. I heard this. Everything that you're praying to be, everything you're striving for, you already are. Receive it. Like I say, all over the world, people are waking up and realizing religion, our religious minds have robbed us of the truth by convincing us God is looking at your performance. We think God is a great big old Santa Claus in the sky that if I'm good, He's going to bless me. I heard a guy give a testimony one day. He said he was in a plane crash and everybody was killed but him. And he said, God really blessed me. I'm thinking, what about the other people? God didn't love them? Yeah. I mean, our minds are so warped to think that we deserve something and maybe somebody else didn't. I'm a little more spiritual than you, so I'm going to be blessed, but you better watch out. You're going to be cursed. If you keep all of the law, you'll be blessed in the city, you'll be blessed in the cattle, your families will be blessed, everything you touch will be blessed. But if you break one commandment, one law, you're guilty of all. And once you're guilty of the law, you have 58 verses of curses that come on you.
Verses of curses.
Deuteronomy 28, it's all there. Santa Claus will bless you if you're good. But if you're bad, boy, He's going to pour out His wrath, His untold tortures. And then when you die, you're going into a fire pit and be tortured eternally. There is no such God. People get upset with me all the time because I say the God of Christianity is just as false a God as any other idol or false God that you worship. There is no God who will torture you. You see, God is all there is. Once you see that God is all there is, how could you point a finger at anybody? If you really know the depth of your humanity, if you really know the depths of the capability of humanity, how could you point a finger at anybody else when you know you're capable of doing the same thing? You really are. We were going to a meeting years ago, and I was asking the Lord, you know, what should I say to these people? And I began to hear, and when I heard, I said, I don't want to teach that. And what I heard was that my heart is to break down the barriers that people have in their minds and help them understand the truth. Well, what I heard going to that meeting was the prophets in the Old Testament, before they ever got the people, you know, turned their hearts toward God, they had to destroy all the idols. And he said, the biggest idol, may be hard for some, the biggest idol amongst the Christian religion is Jesus himself. They worship a man who lived 2,000 years ago but don't really know what he said. They don't really believe what he said. They don't really even try to do what he said. They just worship a man. And that man himself said, I can't do anything. Did he not say that? I, of mine own self, I cannot do anything. Why would you worship a man who can't do anything? Now, I mean, no disrespect. I mean, but see, Jesus isn't, he's way beyond that humanity, that vision of him. We put him in a cradle at Christmas, you know, and we worship the baby in a manger. We put him back on the cross at Good Friday, which is coming up soon. And on an Easter Sunday, we raise him up and we sing and we worship. There's nothing wrong with that, really. It's not a matter of good and evil, but think about it. To really worship goes so far beyond the human concept. I don't know, do we think God has an ego? Where, you know, we have to just worship him day and night, and we have to tell him how wonderful he is, and I tell you what, it's a false concept. God doesn't have a big ego. God wants you to discover the truth of who you are. He wants to bring forth his love and compassion within us. And it's happening. It's happening all over the world. In places where you'd never imagine. A few months ago, I noticed, I get a report every month on my website. And there's never less than 50,000 people a month that get on my website. Last month, it was 70,000. I've seen it as high as 90,000. Well, a few months ago, I noticed that there was like just a few people, less than a dozen from Beijing, China, on my website.
Wow.
Just 3 or 4 months later, there was 5,000 coming from Beijing, China. They come from Russia and China, and there's over 70 countries of the world that are hearing this message and coming alive in the power of the Word. See, a living Word will change you. I've literally had people in meetings that would stand up and literally cuss me out because they didn't understand. They were thinking that Gary the human is saying he is God. Well, that don't work. But anyway, and I would tell them, if I had the opportunity, I'd tell them, what you heard went on the inside of you. And you can't stop it. It's a living Word. And I've had people leave meetings cussing me out, but calling me back 2 or 3 months later, telling me the wonderful truth. One lady that cussed me out one day, and she said, "You're going to be the cause of multitudes of people going to hell because you're telling them there is no such place."
Oh, oh man.
Because, you know, if there's no hell, why do we live for God? We can just go do anything we want. See, that's a concept. And a lot of people would do that. But what does that tell you? They're living a lie. They're just living a lie. But she said, on the way out the door, I picked up a handful of your books and said, "I don't know why I did it, because I didn't like a word you were saying." She went home and read those books and called me 2 or 3 months later crying. So grateful for the truth. There was a pastor in Oregon, and I just talked to him the other day. This has been, how long ago we lived in Oregon? 20 years? I don't know. But anyway, his wife got a hold of some of my books, and she kept telling him, "You need to read this. You need to read this." And so he said, "Gary, I picked up one of those books." He said, "I read about 4 pages, and I threw that thing across the room." And he said, "I got to thinking about it." He said, "Well, maybe I ought to take another look." He said, he started reading some more. He said, "I must have threw your book I don't know how many times." But now he'll tell you. He'd never met me. That's not important. But he will tell you, when he was finished reading my books, his life changed. You see, a living Word, if it's on a piece of paper, and you've got the ears to hear, the heart that wants to know truth, it'll speak to you. It's the most wonderful thing in the world to know who you are. You are nothing less than what God is. I'll say this and I'll quit. You see, you can't change who you are. I say this everywhere I go. You can't change who you are. You see, you can be a prostitute, you can be a murderer, you can anything you want. You can do many wrong things. It will never change who you are. And because I know who you are, and I know the truth of your being, if you will just sit and let me minister to you, you'll come alive. It doesn't matter what you're doing. God's not looking at that. God knows the truth of your being. And I know the truth of your being. And that's all it takes to change a life. If somebody is hungry and they want to change, and the worst thing you can do is get a prostitute interested in God and then tell her, "Now you can't sell your body no more." Because the minute you tell her that, you put her in a prison of trying to overcome, and she'll fail. The only thing you can do to help people is encourage. Joel Osteen is a good example of this. Christians don't like him because all he does is encourage people. What they need it. So anyway, The truth of your being will bring the change that you desire. But you can't try to change yourself. You can't. It's not a matter of you trying to change yourself. That'll never happen. Only God will bring the desired results. Amen. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I'm sure happy. God is so good.
That was awesome. Yes, well,
thank you, Gary.
Thank
yes,
you,
sir.
Gary. I am.
I'll tell you what. I even sometimes go in churches now, and they hear this, and even when I was in Italy, even the pastors they just loved it.
Yeah.
I spoke in Pentecostal and Baptist churches in Italy. Yeah. And even the pastors love it. So people are hearing.